First of all, I'd like to spend just a few moments on our reading this morning, which Elsa read so beautifully. Thank you. This is the first and the longest message of Jesus that we have in Matthew's Gospel. And up until this point, Jesus has been announcing to all the people that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he's been calling on people to repent, following on from John the Baptist. But now the message changes a little bit, and he unveils the foundation and the character of life that he required for those of us living the kingdom of heaven. And he teaches us the characteristics and the qualities that he wants us to have. So we know that Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount was speaking, first of all, to his disciples, and he had them around him as he talked to them. But he also was speaking to the crowds of people that flocked to hear him. And thus, by definition, he's speaking to us today. You know that each beatitude begins with those familiar words, "Blessed are those." What a lovely phrase. But this doesn't mean happy, delighted, joyful, in the sense that we think about happiness today. The words that Jesus uses to describe blessed has a much deeper meaning, such as being content in the certainty of God's love and protection despite any hardships or challenges that people go through. And these qualities give us a picture of the true character of the people of God, those who are part of his kingdom. And these are some of the characteristics and qualities we seek to show to everyone who comes along to Willows, whether as a client, a student, or a supporter or visitor. And I asked if we could have this reading from Matthew's Gospel this morning for a couple of reasons. Now, the first one is, I just love the image of Jesus climbing up a bit of a mountain, sitting down like a good rabbi or teacher would have done, and gathering his disciples, his friends around him, and teaching them about the qualities of those in the kingdom of heaven. For me, this says that Jesus had time for people. He made time. He climbed the mountain to get away from the busyness. He created space, and he gave them his full attention. These are things that we try to do in Willows, to give time, attention, and space to our clients and our students. And the second reason I asked for this reading is because the Beatitudes cover, more or less, all the areas of life. Poor in spirit, mourning, hungering for righteousness, persecuted, etc. And in Willows, we come across people who are dealing with all of these things. People who are searching for comfort because they mourn. Those who are poor in spirit, have low self-esteem. And those who are persecuted and bullied. So I'd like to tell you about one particular lady who finished counselling very recently, in fact, in January this year. Just a few weeks ago, I was asked to meet with her at the end of her very last counselling session with us. Now, this isn't something that often happens. In fact, it's very rare, because we receive written feedback in the form of an evaluation, which is usually sent out from the office when counselling is finished. However, this particular client was very keen that she speak to me because she wanted to tell me as the director about her experience of counselling at Willows and to offer to help in any way. And in one of the ways she said was that I could tell her story. So first of all, she wanted me to know that initially, even the very thought of phoning up to Willows and speaking to someone and thinking about counselling, let alone coming into Willows, felt like a huge mountain for her to climb. However, something in her knew that life just could not continue the way that it was. So she made a huge effort in order to make a referral and come along to Willows, where she met one of our counsellors. She said that the very simple act of being welcomed into Willows with a smile and offered a cup of tea when she arrived gradually put her at ease. And this enabled her to begin to feel safer and over time to be able to open up to her counsellor week after week. She told me that she'd gone to great lengths to keep hidden how very low and depressed she was feeling. She said that no one in her life, not her friends, her work colleagues, or her family, would have had any idea how utterly depressed and without hope of a future she was. She explained that she had absolutely no sense of herself as having any meaning or value or effect in the world, and she was without doubt poor in spirit. Through meeting regularly with her counsellor, who was able to give her time, attention, and space to really listen to her, not just the words that she said, but how she said them, she was gradually able to begin to understand her depression, where it came from, and what kept it going. And she was gently helped to find resources and qualities within herself to challenge her misconceptions and negative self-beliefs. And in the counsellor's words, she began to blossom like a flower. This lady could hardly contain her excitement in telling me that in about 3 months of counselling, she felt completely transformed from the inside out. No longer was she someone who would hardly give any eye contact when she came in, whose head was constantly downwards with shame, not wanting to be seen. But now she was someone who was vibrant, who was confident in herself and her abilities, and she wanted to speak to the director of the organisation to tell them how amazing their counsellors were. She also recognised that tough times would still come in the future, but because of what she had learned about herself and counselling, she felt able to deal with these when they did arise. So not only was that young lady's life transformed, but she can go on to live the life that she was meant to live, no longer poor in spirit. Now, I'm always delighted when things like this happen. I don't look for them especially, but they are there, and I praise God for those reminders that we are following him and we're sharing his love. I'm so proud of that counsellor who made the journey with her, who was willing to sit with her in her pain and depression and fear, who was willing to show empathy and compassion, and also willing to challenge her and to really look at her difficulties and her abilities and to encourage her to make changes that would help but would be hard for her to do. I'd also like to share about another client who came to Willows last year. She was an older lady who came to Willows because of a bereavement in her family. And this bereavement had happened a number of years ago. It wasn't recent. But she'd never been able to really deal with the loss. She had felt that she had to keep going, to keep strong and support others in her family. And we find this is a very common situation. She pushed her own grief down and her own pain away and tried to ignore it. But as often happens, when we don't deal with suppressed emotions, they begin to leak out in other ways. She became angry and irritated with her family, her work colleagues, and she constantly was feeling anxious and had lots of stomach problems. Finally, she let a friend know how much she was struggling, and her friend encouraged her to come along to Willows. We were able to offer this lady counselling with an experienced bereavement counsellor, and together they met weekly, and the lady was able to share good memories of that relationship of the person who had died, as well as talk through her devastation at the loss of this person from her life every day. Through the counsellor's consistent care and wisdom, the lady was in time able to find a way of holding both the loss and the good memories together. This lady who mourned was comforted. Now, many of the people who come to us are not only poor in spirit, but often they're also financially poor. And that's one of the reasons that we get so many referrals at Willows. We're one of the very few organisations who can offer counselling to people regardless of their ability to financially contribute to the cost. Often the two go together. Having no sense of self-esteem or value of self, this can impact people's ability to maintain a relationship or gain a job or even education. But we see everyone who comes to Willows simply as a child of God, unique and special and deserving of care. However, very few of our clients would ever see themselves in that way. And at Willows, we try to show them that they matter. Essentially, they need love. And I make no apology about saying this because we love our clients. And we show them this by how we treat them. And we love them because Jesus asks us to. We show love to them by being respectful, by showing care and compassion, by welcoming them in with a smile and a cup of tea or coffee, by starting and ending sessions on time, by being honest about what support we can offer and what we cannot, and by being clear about the limits of confidentiality, by caring enough to challenge them when they need to be challenged, and to encourage them when they need to be encouraged. And although counselling is one of the core activities of Willows, we also provide training. We want to equip people to be better listeners and to better support people in all sorts of roles. Teachers and teaching assistants, support workers, youth workers, pastoral workers, as well as those wanting to go on and be a counsellor. So really, everybody at Willows plays a part in living out Jesus' characteristics of the kingdom of God, not just the individual counsellors. To give you a little example, the first lady that I told you about this morning who was depressed was actually seen by one of our student counsellors who had been provided an amazing teaching experience by the tutors on her course, who modelled good counselling skills as well as teaching counselling theory. This counsellor had experienced good supervision and support group support as well. Practically, she was supported by talented and committed staff who were able to make a good match with the counsellor's experience and the client's needs. And as I mentioned earlier, our reception staff and volunteers welcomed this lady warmly every week. Our cleaner and caretaker ensuring the building and garden was clean and comfortable and welcoming. And around the coalface staff of Willows, we also are blessed with the Friends of Willows, who organise fundraising events or make regular donations, which enable us to see people with, regardless of their ability to pay towards the cost of counselling or not. But most of all, I appreciate your prayerful support, because we recognise that God is at the very centre of Willows. He is our leader, and if we're not listening to him, and certainly if we're not following him, we would be working on our own strength, and that would get us nowhere except very tired. Knowing that churches and individuals are praying for us is what enables us to keep going for all the people who come to Willows. Clients, counsellors, visitors, they often tell us that they can feel a real presence in Willows, a peaceful presence, and we believe that that is God filling us by his Holy Spirit. The financial support that you give to Willows as a mission church is so vitally important because it enables us to keep on providing counselling for those who really need it. I often look over to Christ Church from the little chapel. We have a room at the very top of Willows, and we can see over here, we can see the spire. And I am often reminded and thankful for your presence, a physical and praying presence in Swindon. So in summary, Blessed are the poor in spirit who come to Willows. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. And blessed are those who are persecuted who come to Willows. And blessed are you, Christchurch, for you are faithful to God and to Willows. So bless you and thank you.